You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, a lot of you have asked what's a good time for possibly next happy hour. You were so in the radiating joy of our huge party on Saturday. All I can tell you is I would kind of look at, if I was going to pick a date for a wingding, I would mark out, hey Barb, Wednesday the 25th would be where I want. Wednesday the 25th of September, I'd probably save the date. I can't tell you where yet. I can confirm by Friday. So we go from there. So our good friends at Goldwater reached out, and we always like when we see things called taxpayer victory. And it had to do with deceptive tax hikes, and being in Pima County and this region, we see all the fun stuff. But I always like stories of how municipalities try to do the good end run around the humans. Because, you know, why would they need you, inconvenient taxpayers? Well, they need your money. They just don't need you. So making his debut, I think, on the show, is from the Goldwater Institute. I think he's a lawyer, so don't hold that against him. Okay. And it is Adam Shelton from the Goldwater Institute. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here for my first time. And I appreciate it if your listeners don't hold the fact that I'm a lawyer against me.
How long you been with Goldwater?
A little over 2 years now, and loving every day of it.
Look at you. Part of the Sandifer Armada of lawyers. I love it.
Yep.
So tell us about the Scottsdale situation before we get to the decision. What were they trying to do?
Yeah, in essence, what Scottsdale was trying to do was impose a new 30-year 0.15% sales tax to fund parks. The biggest issue, though, is they weren't actually telling voters it was going to be a new tax. There was an expiring tax that was a 0.20% sales tax, so they figured they would use that opportunity to tell voters that instead of enacting a new tax and raising taxes, they were actually just going to replace and reduce their taxes.
Gotcha. So it was going from, the original one was you're talking about like 0.15 of a cent? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So the original tax was a 30-year tax that was enacted by the voters in 1995. That was a 0.20% tax or a 0.20% tax to fund the purchase of lands in a preserve up in northern Scottsdale. That ends and is set to end on its own terms on June 30th, 2025. Scottsdale decided to use that opportunity to enact a new tax to fund all city parks, to fund police for city parks, et cetera, and use that to be able to tell voters that they were actually reducing taxes, even though the tax was going to end and they were adding a new 30-year tax onto it.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So was this a slam dunk by the time you got to the Court of Appeals? What do you think?
You know, I don't know if it was a slam dunk going in, but given what the ruling was, it's a very strong ruling from the Court of Appeals. And it definitely tells, you know, Scottsdale and all other cities that you have to be honest with voters, especially when you're asking them to raise taxes. I think one of the biggest issues with this tax in general, with the wording in general, is that a no vote to not give the city the power to reduce taxes led to a lower tax than a yes vote to give the city the power to reduce taxes. The court kind of keyed in on that, and they realized that that reducing language was really problematic because the tax was going to go away, so there was nothing that the city was actually reducing, and it was just a way to sell the tax to voters when, in essence, what it really is a new tax.
It's amazing. You would think that the city of Scottsdale is collecting taxes hand over fist with all of the retail and other action going on in that community, but They just need a little more.
Yeah. It definitely seemed that way.
So what did the judges say in this case when they came down with their ruling?
Right. So the judges focused on that word replace, or if that word reduce, and held that the tax wasn't actually reducing any taxes because the 0.20% tax was going to stay in place until June 30th, and that after that there would be no tax to replace when this new tax would start on July 1st, 2025. So they held that the word reduce was misleading to voters and told the city they had to go back to the drawing board, essentially, if they wanted to put this new tax, they wanted to put a tax on the ballot. They enjoined the city from putting the current version of the tax on the ballot for 2024, though.
So we don't think there's going to, are they in relation to appealing this because it's a unanimous decision? Unless Scottsdale is going to save more money by having their lawyers continue on with this case,
right? It doesn't look like they're going to appeal. I do know they had a city council meeting last night to try to change the language,
okay.
And it looked like the language was a little bit more honest with voters, and it did say, you know, do you want to essentially enact a brand new tax for the next 30 years, which is really all we were asking for. This case had nothing to do with whether or not the tax was a good idea or a bad idea. It was entirely about the fact that if a city is going to ask voters to enact a new tax, it has to be honest with voters and tell voters that's exactly what they're doing.
What other cases is Adam Shelton working on right now?
We've got a lot of cases going on. That one now is ended. We've got a few cases across the country, and we're really looking forward to continue fighting to protect people's rights across the country, and especially in Arizona.
That's beautiful. Now, but what's one that you're kind of working on? What's one that's out there? It's a public case that's out there you're working on.
Yeah, one right now that's on appeal is we're defending the rights of a mother in Maine whose child was secretly transitioned by her public school district. The child was given a chest binder and referred to by the teachers by a different name and different pronouns. And
Jesus.
No one ever told the mother about that. So we're defending that mother and really just fighting for the proposition that if a school is going to make decisions that directly affect the mental health or physical well-being of a child, it has to tell parents. We're not trying to tell any school that they can't do that. We're just saying that they have to tell parents if they're going to do that.
All right, Adam Shelton, thanks for the update on the Scottsdale case, and we will talk to you guys soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Glad to be on here.
All right, have a good day. That's Adam Shelton from
Thank
the Goldwater
well.
Institute. Yes,
was it Tucson? Was it the county or the state that did the same thing a few years ago where they said, well, we're just going to continue a tax when they were, in fact, a tax was sunsetting and they were, I can't remember where it was, but it was in the last, probably about 5-6 years ago. And he's right. And I cannot believe it when they do that because it is so deceptive. It's like, look, this tax is going away. Your total tax bill will go down. Would you like to vote to increase it?
So if you don't have a citizen that's paying attention to your town politics.
It's exactly. When people hear the phrase, well, inflation is slowing down, they think, oh, happy days are here again. You know, I'm paying less for things, which is apples and oranges a little bit, but it's messaging, right? And people are busy or they don't understand economics, like many in our government don't understand basic economics.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So in the old days, you'd have a reporter that might be following city council beat kind of thing and say, oh, that's interesting, and put that out there. And then people would get maybe a little active and then show up to the next meeting and go, what are you guys doing? Right. And a lot of times now what we're seeing is it's always a concerned citizen. I always tell everyone you should be sitting in on your town council meetings for 1 hour at least once a quarter. And your same thing with your school board meetings. Just pay attention. But now we're finding out you got to have the concerned citizen who then figures out and gets pissed off and then goes to a place like Goldwater. So then you have to sue that city to call them out. And, you know, then the cities get happy because they got their legal department. Like, and then their town manager goes, oh, I think we can defend this.
Well, and then if you do get any coverage over the Goldwater lawsuit, The setup sentence by whoever is reporting it is going to say the ultra right wing MAGA pure Goldwater Institute the highly uber partisan Goldwater Institute is representing the plaintiffs.
Those pro-constitution bastards.
That's the code word, right, for a lot of people to immediately kind of switch out of the story.
Yeah,
it's awful.
And right, and that the idea that somehow what the Scottsdale or the municipality was doing was fine if these guys weren't just party poopers.
Exactly. Come on, man. Don't you like parks? What's the matter with you, communist? You weirdo? You don't like parks? Dogs like parks. You don't like parks, therefore you don't like dogs.
Yeah, it's
therefore,
true.
Therefore you don't like America.
Yeah. It's true, right? This is what happens, right? In the old days, you'd have a good reporter paying attention to things. Then hopefully it'd get in the paper, and then the citizens would go, well, that's weird. Right, and they would actually maybe call their council person or go to a meeting and go, guys, I don't know, what are you guys doing, and make them rethink a little bit here, right? But what's really interesting about this case, it seems pretty slam dunk that they weren't doing what the right thing here is their city attorney said, we're good. That when they got the letter from Goldwater,
yep,
they went, we're good, right? What people don't understand about the Marana Huckleberry situation there with the wastewater treatment plant is, it was the idea that contractually the at a certain point, if Marana paid for the wastewater treatment plant up there, they would that's the way the deal was supposed to work. And Huckleberry, the problem with him as opposed to Jan is that he always wanted to dominate all the municipalities. Right? He's the big dog. You can go kiss my ass. And whatever, right? So I remember Gilbert telling me this story that, he reached out to the county to say, hey, what are we doing here? Right? And the answer that came back from the king was, I got plenty of lawyers. Let's rock.
Right.
Right? And what happened was Chuck Huckle, the problem with
that, I got plenty of lawyers and basically an open budget, an open expense account
right,
to pay them.
Right, and Sharon, Richard, and Ramon will give me anything I want out of your taxpayer dollars.
That's right.
Right. And the other part of this is this has always been a sick thing about the county, is that because there's so much unincorporated county, and you're not allowed to, running an unincorporated county as an incorporated city doesn't work. The funding levels don't work. That's why your taxes are so high. These type of things, right? But what happened was the county doesn't consider someone who lives in the Sahuarita, Marana, or Oro Valley most of the time as their citizen. You're a Marana. You're Marana. Even though you're also a county, you're just a sucker who pays us taxes.
Right.
Right? And that's always been a sick part of what Huckleberry, Grijalva, and Ekstrom grew in as a dynamic in the county, is that the towns are, the municipalities are subservient to them, right? And you're not us,
yeah.
Right? If we were going to do, us and them, right? That's how politics, the dynamics of Pima County have been.
Yeah.
Right? And the city should have been, the city of Tucson being the biggest one, should have been the one as a balance, a good balance, but then again, they were all the same crew after a while.
Sure.
Right. The Ekstrom Grijalva people infected the city council. Right. And then it's the same way they infected TUSD. And so you have the unholy trinity of horrible municipal management.
And this is where you see, Casas Adobes didn't strike while the iron was hot to incorporate.
Sure.
Vail, prime opportunity. Now, if they incorporate, they are without a huge, huge area of very commercially viable land.
Yep.
And they just blew it. Just blew it.
The Vail.
For very, I would say, some specialized interests, right? That were, you could make the argument that it was a little short-sighted.
Oh, we'll talk about how. Let's have a little follow-up on this when we come back. Matt and Chris, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Barney had to get going to a meeting. He was only here for a little bit, so he had to get going. But it's Chris and Matt, the rest of the show. Little crossover with hopefully we can get at least a segment with Grant Krueger. I want to talk about him versus the state on their Katie really wants to crack down on your eggs.
Cuckoo,
get it, crack down on your eggs. Get it, crack. Anyway, crack. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30.
Don't
voice.
Go easy on him.
No side of this is sunny. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news tonight. It's Zep versus The Who. Here we go. We're just talking about the Vail Incorporation thing real quick. And again, so stupid the way that went down, okay? And it's just weird. So you had people, there were people that had land there that either were in the county island and things like that, and they had their thing, and they didn't want to be incorporated, right?
I want my bucolic lifestyle to never, ever change.
Right.
That's 2 days in a row with bucolic.
Then I don't think the Diamond Ventures guys wanted anything, because they already had their sweet deal with the county. Why have someone else get in between there, right, with the ranch place out there, right? Rocking K, right? Then I had the MAGA purity idiots running around going, oh, we don't want another layer of government. We're big and small government people. Well, I am too. But why would you want to have a direct... Now, Steve Christie's great as a supervisor out there.
Sure.
The problem is your life's run by the four morons. Your real government is the people with the 4-1 majority over Steve. So what you're saying is there's going to be 7 council seats possibly. You probably have 6 of the 7 would have been Republicans. Right? And so and it would be nonpartisan anyway, but most of them would be Republicans, right? Well, so would you rather have a 6 out of 7 Republican council in Vail or Matt Hines, Rex, Adelita Grijalva, and Sylvia Lee? That's what you said. Yeah, oh, we got small government here. We got small government. You know, it's going to be like Ruby Ridge if we all want to do a small government. Stupid dumbasses. The idea that you could have, look at what's going on. The only success going on in Southern Arizona are incorporated towns. Right? The city is an absolute train wreck of a Democrat crap hole. Right? And also nonpartisan elected incorporated towns are the only success stories in. I mean, look at Green Valley, for God's sakes. They got all they got is old people over the place, and they can't keep a hospital open, for God. What? Come on. What the hell? I mean, that thing changes hands more times than a bong at a frat party.
Well, wowie, wow.
Look at me. So again, here's the thing.
Yet an industrial park. Yet an industrial park, the old IBM facility. Yet all sorts of, yet the whatever the canning factory, whatever it is this week.
Yep.
Right? And you got all that area set for, just primed for some power centers, tax revenue, tax generation.
Again, here's the other thing. Here, let me put the Karnak hat on right now. Vail will be incorporated.
Yes.
It will. It's going to happen.
Well, Tucson took the cash cow part of it.
It will. And you're gonna. It's going to cost you more money, and you're going to get less out of it. Wake up. If you can't get enough of this loudmouth jackass on the radio show, you can catch me Wednesdays with Clint Peake and Live the Dream Media podcast. We call it the working title podcast because we have no idea what to call it. So give it a look-see. It's on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And if you really want to see my rugged Italian features on video, high def, you can see it. So
there you go.
We'll be on later today at 10 o'clock, right after Jump In Tucson with the great Grant Kruger. So wake up, do Jump In, and then head over to catch the Working Title podcast. The two names we were working on, it's either Working Title podcast or Keep Your Day Job podcast. So
I have a friend who had a band called Day Job with the same same sentiment.
You know what happened was I was in Nashville for a meeting, and we did this is the benefit of hanging out with TJ from Grayline. His buddy who owned Grayline in Nashville treated us to this unbelievable full day of Country Music Hall of Fame and then downtown Nashville and all. And we went to Studio B where Elvis recorded, and we sang Can't Help Falling in Love. And I remember there was 5 of us singing it in the studio, and we did describe ourselves as the Keep Your Day Job Orchestra. Or 5. Keep Your Day Job 5. That's right. All right. Now, let's get to... we got a whole bunch of local stuff. I do want to get this out. This is... So, we know there are stretches of the Maricopa County area like maybe a 2 mile stretch that has more economic development in the last 5 years than Pima County's had in the last 30. Okay. And they don't require stupid worldview deals or things like that. Okay. We know that the town, the big house of Casa Grande is kicking this region's rear end all over the park. And now Eloy is kicking our butt. Eloy. And we know locally, really in the world of any sort of real possible economic development possibilities, it's the great town of Marana. So Sun Corridor still getting $600,000 or so of your taxpayer dollars to pretend to do something over there. This one, August 20th. This is the perfect way to celebrate Tucson's birthday. W Silver Recycling purchased 4 acres on East 36th Street. Open positions include general manager, supervision team leaders, quality control, maintenance technicians, among others. It'll be operational within 45 days. Silver Recycling is one of the nation's leading metal recyclers, with a presence covering Southwest United States and Mexico. And they have a Calexico location in Southern California. I always thought Calexico was on the other side of the border. Is there a Calexico in California? Anyway, hold on. Now I got to look this up. Calexico.
Isn't it Mexicali
That's right. I see it now. Oh, it's just the... Got it. Oh, Calexico's on the other side of Mexicali. That's right. I'm on there.
They're, yes,
I got it now.
Quote-unquote sister border city.
So... Me learn good. Now
here we do it the right way. It's Nogales and Nogales.
Thank you. So anyway, this is one of the biggest job announcements from Sun Corridor that I've known for, especially for this year, 2024.
Do you need a drum roll or something?
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be a life changer. Thank you, Sun Corridor, and all of your enablers, supporters. Tell me when you're ready. Just tell me when you're ready, and then I'm gonna. So, this big press release from Laura Shaw. Remember, these guys get $600,000 of your taxpayer dollars. If they weren't getting taxpayer dollars, I would just leave them alone. Possibly. Now, here we go. The amount of jobs from the West W Silver Recycling created is 25.
What happened?
We got nothing else to do around here. 25.
25.
Eloy is kicking our butt. Laura Shaw, again, part of Sun Corridor, just did a press release saying that we are happily excited that this group created 25 jobs. Now, don't get me wrong.
Was there a G-plat?
I did not see G-plat. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. 25 new jobs. I think it was Socrates that once said, is better than a sharp olive branch stick to the eye.
Okay.
But.
I think it was Cicero.
Could be Cicero. But there have been that 25 jobs was easily shedded someplace else in this market, and you just never knew it, right? And it happened in about a flash of the eye that you didn't even realize. So again, the wasted opportunity is, I keep saying it, I got to say it every damn year. We are a community of 1 million people. We are in a geographic desirable area. We are in a Sonoran desert that's beautiful. We are surrounded by a variety of mountain ranges. We are where two interstates meet, including there's two big ones that go across the country. We're on one of them.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The other interstate goes down 40 minutes or so to an international border with lots of trade coming
through.
Also
true.
We have
rail.
We have rail, right?
Two large runways.
We have a giant...
One currently used by the Air Force, but
yep,
who knows?
Giant Air Force base also. We have supposedly a world research leader at the University
also
of
true.
Arizona. It has a little bit of financial management problems.
Yeah, right?
And so we have all of these amazing things that are just inherent right now.
But do you know what we also have?
What do we have, Matt Neely?
Decade after decade after decade of strong no growth sentiment, and they've gotten exactly what they want.
Absolutely.
Exactly what they want.
No, it's...
And we're paying the piper. Every quarter, we pay the piper for this.
So I love doing our, let's see, it's the picture of the, all of the bullet casings with the markings at Swan and Speedway. Okay. And I actually locked it to, I put it together with a Lao Tzu quote. And the Lao Tzu quote is, if you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading. And with the picture with the 180 casings all over Swan and Speedway.
The 2020s are the dividend of the 1970s. We don't ever want to grow. We don't want to be like Phoenix. We don't want to be like LA. We don't want to be like California. And the dividends we are receiving now.
But think how pathetic we are right now. Here's a dividend for you. The $600,000 taxpayer-supported Sun Corridor did a press release on August 20th happily announcing 25 jobs. Right? Where part of economic development, and I'm sure Joe Snell would tell you, or Snell Squatch, as he's lovingly known around the campfire, right? That there's two parts of economic development. There is helping companies expand or move to your market, but there's also the fact of maintaining your existing businesses and helping them thrive.
Mm-hmm. And the business organizations, as you've been pointing out for 50 years, have turned into, let's enable the government to walk all over our members.
Yes, it's true.
Okay.
That's why I make fun of these chambers and Southern Arizona leadership and these organizations, because they do enable the local electeds to run all over their members. Now, part of it is their leadership makes money from their relationship with the government.
Yeah.
That's the part of it. So if you want to clean up, Chris, you always bitch about these things. Why don't you give us some solutions? Well, here's a solution for you kids, even though I've been giving you solutions for 15 years. And Joe. And all of our partners in this crazy thing called Wake Up. I want a conflict of interest statement from a questionnaire for all of your board members. And if you are part of the government or your company makes any money off of a government contract, you can't be on the board and say you do advocacy. All right? So think about this. 2 years ago, Edmund Marquez was the head of the chamber, the chair. He's a government official on the Rio Nuevo board. How does that happen? That's an absolute conflict of interest. let's say one of their businesses was having problems with Rio Nuevo. How do you advocate when one of their people are on their appointed members of Rio Nuevo as your chair? Literally go through the board, go through the board members of all these organizations. How many of them are making money off of the government here? Whether it's through either they have contracts or they're in development and they get favorable decisions on land use changes. When have you ever seen Diamond Ventures bitching about how Pima County doesn't move fast enough on their stuff? I'd love to see it. You can send it to me. So let's get Billy.
But the latest example, the city of Tucson enabled a camp out at Stone and Grant, and that camp out led to
attacking
people vandalizing and trying to torch businesses downtown.
And also it's attacking the businesses on Fort Lowell and Swan, remember?
Yeah, thank you. You're right. Okay? So this is where we're at. The city is enabling behavior, and I don't think anybody from any chamber or any business support organization has said, what are you guys doing?
Right.
You're killing us. And then they're like, well, we have a food desert downtown, or we have a this desert, or a banking desert, or whatever. Well, is it any wonder why businesses move out?
Correct. Let's go to the phones. Let's get bill number two on before we go to break. And then Cynthia will take her next segment. She got her door knocked on by the Democrats. Let's go to Bill first. Bill, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Before I get started, great comments on that conflict of interest. It should also apply to, and I just happened to think this of it, all these nonprofits and 501c3s and all these Klingons.
Yeah.
You know, if you have your hooks into somewhere else, that is wrong. And a couple other things. I think the interstate highway system has been here for, I don't know, since what, the 60s,
Eisenhower.
50s? Yeah, 50s, 60s, okay? And the railroad, Chris, has been here, believe it or not, since the late 1800s.
It's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, can't they leverage those things? Now, one of your other comments earlier got me to thinking about, I don't remember if it was the city, the county, or just Southern Arizona, that ran IBM out of the area. They just packed up and split about the time I moved here, and I wasn't paying attention to any of that stuff. But so apparently then, I guess, the U of A took over that whole area. Is that all that area could have been developed and on the tax rolls? My question really is, does anybody know, is all that stuff on the tax rolls or not?
Well, I assume I think the U of A owns it now.
It's not on the tax roll, right?
Yes, well, that would be my assumption.
Well, that means everybody else has to pay the extra on it, right?
So, correct.
Yeah, that's really crazy. I think, and I'll sum it up, I think at some point in time, Southern Arizona has to take Kamala Harris's advice and unburden themselves with all these Marxists, okay? How's that? Is that going to be a plan?
Double ding for that one, Bill.
All right. See you guys.
All right. When we come back, thanks, Billy. When we come back, Cynthia, our buddy's on the line. She's going to, she got her door knocked on by the Dems. So she'll tell you about that experience when we come back. All right. Who versus Zep? Here we go.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
Speaking of rain, 60%.
Adios, humidity. Hola, pisco sour.
It's not happening yet. Humidity did not listen to you.
Just got to keep asking. Persistence, follow-up. Dear humidity, F off. All right, let's go to Cynthia on line three. Cynthia, good morning, lady. Good to hear your voice. What's up?
Good morning. How are you guys? I love Led Zeppelin. we got inundated with Democrat poll people yesterday knocking on doors, and they want to know if you're voting for Gallego and Kamala. And I said, I'm an independent. This administration is why everything is a mess. And I said, why would you want me to vote for them? They don't have an answer. They just want you to vote. They don't have an answer as to what their positions are or anything else. It's just that they want to go by name and they want you to just vote for them. And I said, well, I have no comment further. So, but they were hitting everybody in our complex.
What, Cynthia, what neighborhood are you in, just so we know?
The gunfight battle neighborhood.
Oh, no. So hold on. Which one?
Swan and Speedway.
Swan and Speedway.
The OK Corral District.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, last week we got hit with the AFL-CIO people wanting to know how we feel about the increase in our utility rates. And I said, again, it's the administration and the people that you vote for into the Corporation Commission. And he said, well, don't kill the messenger. I just want to keep my job. So, you know, they really got people out pounding the streets. I haven't heard anything from anybody else. So just be aware that they are making themselves visible.
Cynthia, thanks for that infield reporting. That's
great call.
That's better than we get from actual people who say they're journalists in this town. So thank you very much.
Okay. Have a good day, guys.
Stay safe over there, young lady.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Take care, Cynthia.
Bye.
The you're saying so that's what the Dems are doing. What's the Republicans doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. They had a LD17 meeting where they decided that they're not going to endorse Juan Ciscomani or Vince Leach.
I do not understand this.
So we got that going for us. And then this is the big one. This is how remember Cynthia's got knocked on her door twice in a week, right? So the
during the convention.
Right, the Republicans, this is huge. This is how they're going to... This is something they've never done before, and it's going to really make a difference. That's right, we're having another car caravan for Donald Trump. So September 7th, get in your car. It says, get ready, show your patriotism, and line up, and we're going to go hit the road at 10 o'clock. Complete the loop and enjoy free refreshments. And grab some Trump signs. There you go. So this is what's going on while Cynthia is getting pounded by Democrats at her place in Swan and Speedway. We're going to drive around in our vehicles and honk our horns. I know that worked really good in 2020. So, worked really good in 2020. Yowza. I got to get through a bunch of local stuff, and then I want to get to that let's distill the Dem platform that's falling out of people's pie holes. Wake up.